Okay. I'm about to go see Star Wars. The Last Jedi is the name of the film. Where do I want to turn? It's hard for me to see. 10:30 p.m. show. So I drank some tea before I left. And I took some decongestant that is non-drowsy also, because I was congested, not just because it had the non-drowsy stuff. So, yeah, and I listened to Empire Strikes Back soundtrack driving on the way over here. IMAX 3D is the show type that I'm going to. Got an aisle seat in case I need to stand up for my back. And that's what I'm doing. I plan on recording some sort of thing afterward. Immediate thoughts from the film. So, now to find parking. There you have it. Okay, just finished watching The Last Jedi. Spoilers, by the way. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. How many times do I have to say it? Spoilers, spoilers. Don't listen to this if you don't want things to get spoiled. Turn it off or fast forward or something, or don't listen. Okay, there you go. It was not nearly as good as Force Awakens, I think. Pacing was a little weird. It was funny, and like the jokes in it were good, but it was a little too funny. I mean, some of the jokes were like kind of groan-worthy, actually. Somebody got pulled over. Yeah, jokes were pretty good. Like I said, some were kind of groan-worthy. They chose to end Luke in a really weird way. And it felt like the climax of the movie should have been killing the Supreme Leader Snoke, which happened like in the second act of the movie, basically. And Rey and Kylo Ren have this weird telepathy thing throughout the whole movie. I wasn't too into that. I don't know. Just kind of wasn't great. No, I mean, for a Star Wars movie. Like, it was a pretty good movie. Pretty good sci-fi movie. I have to... am I in the right spot still? Where the hell am I? 4th Street? Yeah, okay. The special effects look pretty cool. I saw it in IMAX 3D, but I kind of wish I didn't see it in IMAX, because it kind of emphasized how everything was green screen. The porgs, I guess, if that's what they're called, like, were really cute. in a different way than BB-8. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, one Porg, but they were, like, multiple Porgs, which I thought was pretty cool, and they had some, like, salt crystal foxes in there, which were also really cool, and there was a good message about, like, I don't know, I mean, as somebody who's recently vegetarian, I thought it was a cool message about not eating animals in there. The Benicio del Toro's character kind of points out that, like, all of these weapons were sold to the rebels and to the First Order. And that was cool, like, kind of an anti-establishment message. So, Rey was awesome. Mark Hamill was pretty cool in it. I'm using all these descriptive words. That was a joke. Okay, anyway, that's my opinion. There was a lot of, I heard a lot of yelling in the parking lot as I was leaving, and I heard a lot of groaning. So my guess is that this will not be highly rated amongst Star Wars fans. But I will probably go see it again. So there.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey, it worked.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Bill.
By the way, I have to concur with something that you said to me via a text message a few moments ago.
This is recording.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Just as a way of setting the tone for this conversation. Sure. Actually, no, this isn't going to set the tone for the conversation at all. But I agree. Ready Player. I think I would rather have someone stick a needle in my eye than watch the movie Ready Player One. It looks so fucking awful.
I mean, here's the thing that we have to now navigate in this media landscape. Because things like Big Bang Theory exist, like, you now have to ask yourself, like, is this thing a genuine representation of, like, sci-fi comic books? Like, is this thing a genuine representation of the thing that I like? Or is it just, like, feeding off of, is it just like a bottom feeder sucking up all of the things that I like and like crapping it out?
Right.
And,
well,
and, yeah. And I think that's what Ready Player One is going to be. I listened to the book, and the book was sort of enjoyable because Will Wheaton read it, and mm-hmm. I like him for, you know, for certain things. Like, he's pretty cool. Like,
right.
But man, it's just, there's no added value to Ready Player One.
I haven't read the book, and I probably shouldn't share this opinion, but my impression is that the guy who wrote the book was a genuine fan of the things that you like.
I think
right?
so. I
he had agree. Good intentions, but he was an example of a nerd who does not have the skill to convey his nerddom in an interesting way to someone who is also not like him, right? He's like, yeah. He's like the nerd about all this stuff, but he doesn't have the ability to, he's like Big Bang Theory-ing it. He's like one of the characters on the Big Bang Theory. He's not able to translate his fandom into something that is actually interesting. It's just a vomiting of his fandom onto the table without any thought of, like, let's make something actually enjoyable here. Let's just vomit as much pot as we can into this book.
Hold on. Yeah. I just want to say, if anybody is listening to this because they want to hear us talk about The Last Jedi, that's going to happen. But we just want to.
Yeah, that's
this,
true. That's true. Like, I'm totally derailing.
We will not spend more than a minute or two longer on this. Yeah. But let us finish. Right. You sitting there with your coffee,
or driving or whatever. Like, right. we're going to talk about it and just give us yeah. one, like 1 minute. Okay. Yeah.
And this will be the last thing I say. The last thing I'll say
yeah.
is that Steven Spielberg seems to be just like, oh, I guess the cool thing now is to have like retro Ugh. Fandom of properties. I should do that. Ugh. And it's like, oh, Steven Spielberg, don't do that.
I
that
know, looks, man.
Don't like, do it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
It's you know what? I think it was like good fanfic. I think that's what mm-hmm. Ready Player One was. It's just like
yeah,
like pretty good fanfic, and like it would have made a cool script for like a really for like a $5 or $6 app, and like you kind of like play a little guy and you go around and do things because the concept is fine. Like it's like sort of. Matrix-y sort of thing, but it's all like fun references to like old video games and stuff. So yeah, it just anyway okay Bill and Peter talk about Ready Player One is now finished.
Yes, okay, we're done, moving on,
man. The Last Jedi, I saw
the last fucking Jedi, dude.
I saw it last night.
I saw it last night too. We haven't shared our thoughts with each other pretty much at all yet.
No, you shared a voice message that just said Star Wars.
So
sitting at
so
10:30
yesterday, Emily and I, because of the mechanics of our afternoon, we ended up driving to the theater separately and then driving back separately. And we were stopped at an intersection and our cars were next to each other, or I was sort of not directly next to her. I was a little bit in front of her in a different lane. And I rolled down my window and just yelled, Star Wars. And then when we got back home, she was like, what were you trying to tell me in the car? And I was like, oh, I was just yelling the word Star Wars. So that's my reaction.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So,
I have a
basic reaction.
Wait. So eighth okay. episode. I'm just gonna set the scene a little bit.
Set the scene a little bit.
Eighth episode of Star Wars. This is the second installment in the main trilogy. Right. In the main third trilogy, I guess we could say.
It's the ninth Star Wars movie total. But it's the eighth movie of the Skywalker yeah. saga.
Yeah, yeah. Episode 8. Yep. Rian Johnson directed it.
Rian Johnson.
And
the only things I've ever seen by him are his Breaking Bad episodes and the movie Brick. I never saw The Brothers Bloom or Looper.
Looper is definitely worth watching. Looper is definitely worth watching. And yeah, I've seen Brick, and I tried to watch Brothers Bloom, but I think I fell asleep.
I would like to see it. I would like to see Looper. I'm somewhat somewhat, maybe this is a bit of an unpopular opinion. I really dislike Brick. I really disliked it.
Oh.
And I think my one fear for The Last Jedi of elements like from Brick that I didn't like, but I don't think it did.
Yeah.
So that's
been a while since I've seen it. So I can't
that
really
was the basis.
I can't really say about Brick. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hold on. Let me get out of the way. My dog is trying to. Come on, Walter. Come back inside. Come on.
I kind of want to just, you know how people do movie podcasts, and then.
Sorry.
That's fine. You know how people do like okay. movie podcasts, like I guess like what we're doing, and they do like mm-hmm. okay, like we'll inspect this one movie and do it in multiple parts, or they'll do like we're doing right now, which is like let's talk about this movie for like half an hour.
Right.
I have not seen a movie podcast yet where one person all they do is just talk to multiple people about the same movie.
Okay.
I think I think that could be kind of enjoyable. Because
that could be good.
Anyway, so
that could be good.
Yeah, go ahead. Last Jedi, your thoughts.
All right. Okay. I think that this may be my favorite Star Wars movie.
Interesting.
I think it is the most ambitious Star Wars movie. I think it succeeds on 85 to 90% of its ambitions. It is the most heavily thematic Star Wars movie. What I mean is this movie is about stuff in a very direct way, in the way it's about more than hero's journey type stuff. Previous Star Wars movies were about things, but they were mostly about like themes of personal development and so forth. This is more about war. It's more about society. You could argue that some of those elements are a little bit thrown in, and that's fair. Some of them are maybe a little bit thrown in, but I actually appreciate that because it widens the world a little bit. Overall, I liked it better than The Force Awakens. But yet, ironically, I sort of came to my nitpicks quicker, because I walked out of The Force Awakens being like, that was perfect. And this movie, I didn't walk out of it thinking that was perfect. Yeah. But I do actually think it's better than The Force Awakens. with time, certain things about Force Awakens have gotten worse in my mind. Whereas I think for me, for this movie, the things I didn't like were apparent right away, but yet I think I enjoy it more overall because it's more ambitious and because it's about more things. But yeah, there's definitely some nitpicks. Like I said, about 15% of what it reached for, it didn't succeed on. But I appreciated the 85% so much.
So I think I'm.
Are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, I'll give my overall thoughts and then let's just do it. I think I mostly agree with you. I do not agree that I did not like – this is not my favorite Star Wars movie by a long shot. I liked, as you said, I like the addition of more themes, like how it's about war and it's not about the hero's journey, really. I mean, to a certain – Not exclusively. I agree, and I liked that part too. And I liked most of the new characters, but man, it lost me at a couple of different parts where it just felt like it could have used some pacing modifications. Like it just did not have the throttle of Force Awakens. It was not going. It felt like, maybe by nature of the story, but even Empire didn't feel like this, and Empire is the most maybe the most similar in that it had, you know, you split up the group, have like three or four different stories going. So for me, it's not my favorite by a long shot. I think it's like, I liked it more than Rogue One. So I ignore the 90s prequels completely. So for me, this is like, I really like
second to last.
It might be second to last in my order. Yeah. But I fucking love Star Wars. Not that it was a bad movie. It was just like, man. So anyway, okay. All right. All right. Get into it.
So there were so many things in this movie that just made me slack-jawed.
All right.
Like, there were so many things that happened where, and I was in a pretty crowded theater, and Joplin, Missouri theater audiences are not particularly well behaved, but there were, but even despite that, like, I felt like the whole theater was on the same page.
Well,
as
like,
me
what are the moments?
Where I was just like, oh my God. So for example, near the very beginning, when the Leia is in the, on the bridge, and fucking she gets fucking sucked out into space, and I was like, oh my God, this is what they're gonna do with Leia. Yeah. Holy shit. But then, of course, they didn't, because she uses the Force to float back onto the bridge.
Let's pause right there.
And that's it. Okay. Yep.
That complete... It was like the tone of that whole thing so off, in my opinion. In the moment, I was like, I'm not going to scoff. I'm not going to scoff. But then the more that I thought about it, it's like, this is the first Force moment for Leia that we see ever. This is it. Like,
yeah, she's got to survive, man. She's got to keep fighting. She's got too much left to do.
I understand. So, no, why? I get it. It's just
so.
But
I get
but,
it too. I do get your dissatisfaction. No, I do. I do. I do get your dissatisfaction. I do. Yeah. Okay.
Like, not just the concept. But, like, she looked like, just, like, with floating back, it just didn't look cool at all. It just looked like... I saw it in IMAX 3D, too. There's an aspect to IMAX to 3D where it looks cool, but it also flattens things that you can have them look 3D. Mm-hmm. So... If that makes any sense, it's like, yes, it's in 3D, but certain aspects are in 3D. So it both like deepens, but also makes things by nature, it has to make things a little bit more flat to pull them out from the screen. I don't know if that's making sense, but okay. I did not like that part. Let's say that. Did not like it.
Okay. I liked it, but I think it's a fair thing to not like
it.
I think it's fair to not like it.
It was pushing it for me. Anyway, okay, go ahead. Is this okay if I stop you in the middle of your describing?
Yes, that's fine. That's fine. No, because I think we're going to have some of the same nitpicks. I would be surprised. I would be shocked if we didn't have some of the same nitpicks. A part that I thought was amazing was when Laura Dern's character rams the ship. I thought that part was amazing. Because the way that it goes completely silent for a minute, that was so cool. Mm-hmm. That was so cool. I do think that, so one of the things that I said before was that there's more themes, like the movie's more about stuff and it's more kind of political. I think it's the most political of the movies, and I usually like that. Like, I usually like it when a movie makes a political point. I usually have no problem with that at all. I do think that this movie maybe did a few plot contrivances in order to get those things
maybe.
In, right? So, such as, why wouldn't Holdo just tell Poe what the fucking plan was?
Yep.
Why wouldn't she just be like, Poe, the reason we're doing this is because we're going to cloak the transports and sneak people down onto the planet. Just shut the fuck up for a minute.
Yeah.
I have a plan. Like, why wouldn't she just fucking say that? So instead, like, when you think about it, Poe really fucked up in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He really fucked up, like, in two big ways. He did the bombing mission, which was probably not a necessary bombing mission. And then two, he does the whole plot with he sends Finn and Rose off on their whole mission. And then Benicio del Toro is able to tell the First Order what the plan is. Like, if everyone had just like trusted Laura Dern's character, it wouldn't have gotten so fucked up.
Yeah. Like, in a way, this, this movie is like, like at several points, it's like, look what happens when you don't listen to the women in charge.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, no, I kind of like that. Too. I did kind of like. I got
that is a positive. Yeah. Like, because if they would have, yeah. maybe yep. if they would have just found the codebreaker, like, what's her name, Maz Kanata. Like, if they would have just mm-hmm. found the codebreaker that Maz told them to find, even though he looked like a big old douchebag, yep. like. Yeah, super douche. I was like, yep. really? Is this the character right. we're going to spend 45 minutes with? I really yep. don't want to look at this guy. Yep. I really don't want them. I don't want whatever this character is. Like, if this character is in any more of this movie than this one shot, this is turning into a Marvel movie. And I do not want to watch a Marvel movie right now. Like, it just...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, yeah, I... Right. I agree. I think it was, I think the Benicio del Toro character probably ended up being totally. Better than that
but,
character.
Yeah, but they fucked it up.
But, speaking of Maz Kanata, that was dumb.
The her fighting
like,
the thing.
Just have Maz Kanata on the ship. Just have her be there, right? Just have yeah. her there, right? It's plausible that she would be there. She yeah. was,
well, there, I, you know, I don't know that it, see, that's funny. I didn't really think about it that too much. Because they're trying to you I mean, know, set the tone for Maz, like, I don't know, you know, that she's got, like, a lot of stuff going on, and she's, like, a smuggler and all that stuff.
I thought it seemed really dumb. The fact that, oh, we can talk to Maz, but she's in the middle of a firefight with a union dispute, like, that just seemed dumb to me. I did yeah. not like that part. I thought that was a waste of Maz.
That's what...
No, just have her be there, or just have her have a normal
I
fucking conversation.
How much of our like nitpicks about this are because Carrie Fisher died, you know, and I wonder how much they mm-hmm. had to redo because she died in the middle of the shooting.
They claim zero. No. Her scenes were done. She was done. She was done. Yeah. Mm. No, they said they are on the record. Both Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy are saying, when she died, we thought about. Rejiggering the movie a little bit, but we decided not to. We decided to just leave it as it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be that Lupita Nyong'o was never like her schedule was such that they had to do it that way, right? She wasn't there.
But she's a CG like, she character, wasn't... so.
That's true, right? So how so could
they
it,
could have just
know...
done her voice and like put the CG in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care. I didn't until you brought. Yeah.
I mean, that's a minor quibble, yeah, but I just didn't like that part.
Now that you bring it up, I think I totally agree. But like in the moment, I was just like, well, yeah, okay. But that scene does point to something larger in the movie that I think they leaned a little too heavy on the jokiness. Like what I really appreciated about Force Awakens. Is that the jokiness was at the exact, like it hit the exact tone of the original trilogy jokiness. Like quick, very quick in the moment jokes that just are like fast and funny and like the pacing is funny. And this one, it felt a little more like, bloop bloop bloop. I don't know. It just it didn't. The phone call joke at the beginning, like, ooh, you still there? Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was great. It was. I thought it was.
It was okay. Like it was good. It could have been a third shorter. Like the fact that it went on so long, it's just it didn't feel like. What I was thinking about is like overall, this feels like Star Wars the Netflix series, not Star Wars the movie.
I disagree. Yeah,
it's just a little too drawn out, a little like not punchy enough for me. That said, I mean, I guess we are two jerks recording their critiques about a movie. Like I realize. Overall, I liked the film.
So. Oh yeah, I don't think that you didn't like the film. I just think I don't know. So looking on looking at message boards and stuff, which you should never do, but I do. A lot of people didn't like the humor.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was too cheap, and I just disagree. I just really liked the humor. I thought it was good. I liked it. I thought it was in character. It was, I don't know. I really liked it.
Let me say something. So here was a very pleasant surprise for me. I thought, mm-hmm. I guess they're called porgs. I was
yep.
very, and like you, I told you before, like before I saw this movie, I watched no trailers whatsoever for it.
Right.
And I saw like a Verizon commercial where they used some footage kind of from the movie, but it wasn't exact.
Right.
So I right. didn't know anything about it, but all these porg things would pop up like on my Facebook or whatever. And I was just sort of right. like, ooh, I'm nervous.
Right. Yep.
But yep. I really liked them. I really liked those little yep. guys. And I was listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour on NPR. They do, you know, the movie review podcasts that they do. And they said that they figured out how to make these things, how to not go down the route of like Jar Jar Binks, where it's like,
right,
like use these yeah. cute characters as seasoning. Do yeah. not use them as like
right.
a major plot device. Oh, and one more thing. Wait.
I think
one more thing about the porgs. Man, what I loved about the porgs is that the subtle like. Well, I mean, it wasn't subtle, but like how sad they were when Chewie was about to eat them. Oh yeah. man, as somebody
so
who is a
recent
vegetarian.
I think the reason that they work is because they're animals, not characters.
Yeah.
Like in the movie, they serve the role of yes. animal, not the role yes. of character. They're not Ewoks. They're not Jawas. They're just animals. My fear was that they were going to be characters, right?
Yes.
And that would, then you would have crossed the line into too much cutesiness, but yes. they're not characters. They're just animals.
Yeah. How about we do like a character by character thing?
Okay.
So since we're in the realm of these animals,
yep.
Like all of the animals in this thing, all of the like new creatures were awesome. And I really appreciated the subtle, like you're saying, this movie had a lot of like themes. And one mm-hmm. of the themes was animal cruelty. Like,
yep.
I am all about that. Like I haven't looked it up, but whatever the like horse bunny thing was.
Horse bunnies. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty.
Those things are cool.
Yeah. They felt like something out of Zelda. It was really, I really like those things.
Yeah. I like them too.
And the like crystal foxes, the salt yep. crystal foxes.
Yep. The crystal critters, as Pope calls them.
Oh yeah. Crystal critters. Yeah.
Those were good too. Yeah. Cause they were also, again, they were just animals. They were like not,
yeah,
not characters.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was great.
And then what about the four-titted seal cow?
Oh my god!
That gives the green milk. I like that. It was weird.
Yeah, I think again that might have missed the mark, but it missed the mark for me in a way because it was so weird. Like
yeah.
that might be the weirdest thing that Star Wars that a Star Wars movie has done. That was like repulsive and crazy and just trying to like hammer home, like they're trying to make Luke, they're trying to make it feel like Dagobah and like how weird Yoda was
right
in that Dagobah scene. And so I understand why they did it. I thought it was good because it just it made Luke so weird, so
yep.
weird.
Yep, yep,
yeah.
Luke was great in this movie. I mean, I thought Mark Hamill was great. I thought that he knocked it out of the park.
He was really good. I feel like he wasn't playing Luke Skywalker. I feel like he was playing Mark Hamill. Like at times he was playing Luke Skywalker, but I think mostly like the humor in it is Mark Hamill humor, like. I liked his performance, but that's because I like how just kind of zany Mark Hamill is.
Mm-hmm.
And that again, I think the humor was a little off in places with Luke, mm-hmm. but maybe not. I don't know. Like,
I thought it seemed very plausible, a very plausible way for Luke to turn out given everything that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's the only Star Wars movie. I'm trying to think if this is true. It's the only Star Wars movie that we have where like a flashback
happens at all.
Yeah. Right. Happens at all.
Yep.
No. Well. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a brief flashback in one of the prequels where Anakin is like slaughtering somebody. I think. I think they like, yeah, I think there's a flashback there, but
it's a flashback to something that had happened only previously in the film, right?
Right, yeah.
This is a flashback to something that happened theoretically years before.
Yeah. I think this is where Rian Johnson's stuff comes into play, because if I'm not misremembering, like all themes in his other movies play on like how people remember things.
Yeah.
And, like
it's a little bit Rashomon.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, hey, that works too. Cause Rashomon and Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know, man, it was weird. They made Luke's character way more complex with him about to chop down, Kylo Ren.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. I appreciated that.
Yeah, it's unsettling for sure.
Right, it is unsettling. And also, I don't think we know, like, you know, Kylo Ren's story is that Luke was about to kill me and I stopped him. Luke's story was I briefly considered killing him, but then I decided not to. We don't really know who's telling the truth.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah, both seem plausible.
Yep.
Yeah. What did you think about his what did you think about his ploy, the astral projection or whatever?
I liked it. I thought it was I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked that it has a parallelism to what Obi-Wan does in Star Wars.
It's what does sort Obi-Wan do in Star Wars?
Well, when he basically fights Darth Vader in order to distract everyone so that Luke and Han and Leia can escape the Death Star.
Yeah, I thought you meant like has a Jedi done that before, like that hologram?
No, it's a new thing for the story, which I don't have any problem with.
No, it was, I mean, I thought it was a little bit cheap as a device. Like, he's going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. Why, like, here's my Maz Kanata moment. Like, why don't I just put him on the planet?
Yeah. Well, I guess, but there was no way for him to get there.
He had they teased us with his X-Wing.
That's true, but apparently, I didn't notice this at the time, but I read that if you look, there are the X-Wing had been taken apart because there are pieces of it all over the island.
I mean, if he can project himself,
he can put it together. Galaxy, he can put the X-Wing back together. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I thought it was kind of a nice. I think it would have worked as well for him to actually be there. But I appreciated the way that when he projects himself, he can project a younger version of himself so that Kylo Ren sees him as the last way he saw him.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, because he's dark haired and his beard is shorter and everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I'm very happy that he. So I both don't like it and I'm happy that he was a projection, because in that moment when all of the AT-ATs just like blast him all at once, and he comes out unscathed. I'm not familiar with the show, but it felt like a Dragon Ball Z moment.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Just like a really over the top anime moment. Like, if he can do that, then like, then what are we doing? Like,
yeah, that's true. Because that if for him to be able to survive that would be beyond what we've ever seen Jedi's survive.
Yeah.
You know, that would kind of break things in a way that him just being an astral projection doesn't break.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah. Because if he was that powerful, then why do we just end everything, Luke? Like, you've been okay.
Right. Exactly.
You're invincible, and you can just...
Yeah, so he's powerful enough to astral project himself, but he's not powerful enough to survive getting shot by 10 AT-ATs.
So that was... Yeah, that's my thoughts on that. And I wish he would have stuck around. Oh, man. I wish we would have him for one more movie.
I think we will, because he'll be back as a force. I mean, he says to Kylo Ren, "See you around, kid." I expect that in the last movie, he'll be trolling Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He'll be kind of like badgering him and trolling him while at the same time showing up from time to time to give Rey guidance. I think he'll have sort of an Obi-Wan in episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Episodes, rather, Obi-Wan and Empire and Return of the Jedi kind of role now.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Which, by the way, of all of the things I thought might be in this movie, I was not expecting Yoda. I was not.
Oh, man.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't see it coming either.
I really liked it. I also like that I think they seem to use a puppet instead of a CGI this time.
Yeah.
He seemed to be back to puppet, and he was more like the Yoda of the original trilogy than the Yoda of the prequels.
Yes, exactly.
By far.
Yeah. And he was, and I liked how, I don't even know how to describe this, like how just like, he's like burned the whole motherfucker down. Like and he's just sort of gleefully laughing at Luke's pain in that moment. He's just,
right.
Oh, you're worried about that tree? Fuck that tree.
Yep, exactly.
Lightning bolt.
Exactly. Although the books weren't burned up. I kind of wish the books had been burned up, but whatever.
Were they in the tree? Were the books in the tree?
The books, no, by that point they had already been taken out, because you see them later on the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're in the drawer. You only see them for a second.
Yeah, but man, yeah, that I agree with you. That use of Yoda was great. And how he's just self, like, deprecating the whole Jedi thing in general, just like, oh, those books were page turners.
Right. So
yeah, that was great.
Page turners they were not, he says.
Oh, that's right. And they got Frank Oz, I guess.
Yep, they sure did. They sure did. Although if Frank Oz passes away, there'll be plenty of people who can do a good enough Yoda voice imitation if they have to.
Yeah.
So we haven't even talked about Rose yet. And this is something that people find a little polarizing. I really liked Rose. I thought she was a good character, but she and Finn don't work off each other as well as and Rey did.
Oh yeah. The chemistry
was not there. It was just like, not good.
Not even romantic chemistry. I mean, they had that moment where they kiss each other, but their relationship doesn't feel romantic to me. And I don't think it's supposed to.
I hope it's not supposed to. Like, if when she kisses him at the end, it's a kiss born out of just like, holy shit, we've been through a lot together. That's fine. If the kiss is meant to seem romantic, then they really missed the mark.
Yeah.
Because they didn't,
You know, like maybe, I'm trying to think, if all of that stuff with Rose and Finn were like, an extra, not an extra, but like released as a separate package somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if the, I don't know. I think if you totally removed it, like some things wouldn't make sense, but it seemed a little off. And yet some of my favorite things were in those scenes. Like the themes in that are like crucial to what we're talking about. Cause that's where
exactly.
That's where all the stuff about, like, you know what? It's not about somebody who's special and chosen and, like, this or that. It's not about, like, oh, your lineage.
Right.
You know? Man, I hope they stick with that idea that Rey is just from, you know, she's just regular.
Yep, me too. Oh, God, I hope so. If episode 9... it turns out that, oh, she's the grandson of Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'll be very mad. I'll be very mad.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, back to Rose. She was great, though. Like, I really liked that character.
Me too. I really liked that character. I just think that the Rose Finn pairing,
it was
I give it a B when they wanted it to be an A. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's maybe because they have similar, like, they're both kind of, they both occupy the same space in that, like, they're both kind of super idealistic, kind of naive, right?
Right.
I hope I'm not projecting that, right? Like, they were both supposed to be kind of naive, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, what is Finn trying to do when she finds him and has to tase him? He's trying to just go find Rey?
Yeah, he's trying to leave and go find Rey. And he's trying to get her. And I think he's concerned for Rey's safety. So, like he said, he wants to draw Rey, if she goes to find him, away from all of that stuff. So, in a way, Finn was kind of deserting again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So one thing Emily said, which I kind of agree with, like Finn doesn't really do much in this movie. Like,
no,
none of the actions Finn takes are that consequential in the end. Like,
well, with the exception of Phasma, which I guess she's dead, but we thought she might have been disposed of in the previous one too. So,
I think ultimately it would have been cool to have a little bit more substantial Phasma in this. Like, maybe if she had been a little bit more of a character.
Gwendolyn Christie, I could watch, like, she's one of my absolute favorite things about Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm 100% on board with, like, amping up the Captain Phasma screen time.
Yeah.
Shit, make her supreme leader instead of Kylo Ren. Like, I'm a big Captain Phasma fan.
Yeah,
and we did, like, chop her, make the blow, like, chop her helmet in half so we get to see Gwendolyn Christie at least, like, something.
Yep. I really like, speaking of supreme leader, I like a lot of people on the internet are like, well, now that Snoke is dead, what's the point of episode 9? Like, it's true. We don't have no fucking idea what's going to happen in episode 9. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Which is kind of cool. Some people find it unsatisfying. Some people find it unsatisfying that, like, okay, well, what's the next step from here? We don't see what the next step is going to be. I was like, I have no fucking idea what's going to happen in episode 9.
I don't know. Like, that's what they were saying on that NPR podcast too. It was like, you know, this movie is good because it's different. Like, it's not following the Empire Strikes Back formula, because in Empire Strikes Back, all of the threads were just loose. And then you're like, oh, let's tune back in to see resolve. What's gonna happen? It's weird.
Back in 2015, back in 2012, when Disney bought Lucasfilm, one can imagine that as they were developing the first movie with J.J. Abrams, one can imagine that the ultimate goal would be, okay, movie one, this happens. Movie two, there's a confrontation between, there's a new confrontation between Kylo Ren and Rey. Movie three, Kylo Ren confronts his mother, right? Mm-hmm. You can see that that's probably what they had in mind, but they can't do that now.
No.
So,
yeah.
So it's unclear. And also, like, what the fuck's the reason? I mean, when you think about it, this movie had a lot of heroic moments, but overall, the Resistance got fucking crushed in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's like 15, there's like a dozen people left on the Millennium Falcon. That's it. It's like, what the fuck?
Yep. And I mean, that formula-wise, I guess, for trilogies, like, that's not, that part wasn't that surprising to me, because that's kind of what you do in part two of a trilogy, is you, like, strip it all down.
But I mean, at the end of Empire, there is still, like, at least a fleet, right? There's still, like, a rebellion fleet.
Oh, God. Yeah. So Snoke, I liked the CG stuff with Snoke a lot more than I thought I would. Like, he was gross. Oh, man. He was super gross.
Yeah.
I just thought that was really well done. I did not like the middle of the movie to me. That felt like it should have been at the end, that whole battle. Like
with Snoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Because I had seen the trailers. So I had seen the trailers, and so I knew that there was the salt planet, because I mean that's in the trailer. Uh-huh. So right, like you were saying, with the battle with Snoke, I was like, well, okay, this is the end. This is the climax. And then I was like, wait a minute, there's that whole, in the trailers, there's this whole battle on the salt planet. We haven't even seen that yet. As hard as it is for me to like choose what I would cut out,
yeah,
I do think that it gets a little bit long. It's a little bit long.
Like maybe put Snoke on the salt planet. Yeah. And I liked his throne room set.
Yeah.
But it also felt like a Batman 1960s Batman set. Like with that red draped background.
It was
like
definitely it different.
Cool, yeah. But it felt like a 1960s TV show at the same time.
Yeah, I kinda liked it.
I liked it. Right. I liked it, but I couldn't shake that. Also, I just kept looking at it.
Like, I didn't have any particular association with it. I liked his gold robe. I thought that Snoke's CG was really good. Like,
yeah,
it never sort of took me out of the movie, the CG-ness of it.
He was, oh God, he was gross.
By the way, also at the beginning of the movie, I was like, they have fucking ripped off Battlestar Galactica in this movie. with the fact that the First Order is tracking them through hyperspace. They're like, how are they tracking us through hyperspace? Just like the episode of Battlestar Galactica when the Cylons show up every 33 minutes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and also Laura Dern's character reminded me a lot of President Laura Roslin in some ways.
Yes.
But I mean, overall, I really like Laura Dern's character. I wish that she'd been maybe wearing slightly more practical clothing. Yeah. but you know, that's a minor quibble.
What a weird addition. And like, just that, again, with the pacing, like, I was so confused about her character and why. The way I rationalized it to myself is I was like, Carrie Fisher got sick and they couldn't do something. So it's like, okay, Laura Dern, come in and do some stuff and we'll sort of pad out your character.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that's the case. She
was so weird. Yeah.
I mean, Carrie Fisher died when filming had already wrapped. Like they did some like reshoots. A few little bit of reshoots, which most films do, which they didn't have her for, but no, she was completely done.
Yeah, weird.
When she died. Just
that addition of Laura Dern, I liked her character for the most part, I think, and I couldn't place who she was. This is terrible of me. I could not remember her name or where I'd seen her from, and I kept thinking she was Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is not the most un-Laura Dern person in the world. I mean,
and I knew it was wrong, but that's what my brain gets. Boy, Glenn Close. Glenn Close? No.
Yeah, she's looking pretty good, Glenn Close. So I really liked. A lot of people are quibbling with the bombers because, like, bombs wouldn't fall straight down in space. But that didn't bother me. They could have little downward jets on them, right? Yeah, it's very simple. And I really liked that whole sequence, even though, like, it introduces this character of Paige only to just kill her off. But they did a lot with that little sequence. Like, her kicking until the thing fell, that was great. I thought that was great.
And did she kind of use the force or something? Is that what they were implying?
Maybe. But I think it was mostly just her kicking the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. I liked all the mechanics of all of that. That was really cool.
Right.
And giving I mean, it sucks that it's another, you know, there's that trope of like the female dies to give another character a reason to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the one hand, that kind of sucks that they use yet another female character's death to propel another character's motivation forward. But then again, it's not like the typical like male, oh, this dead female gives me a reason to do a thing. It's like the sister aspect. So it's a little bit different, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What characters haven't we hit yet?
Poe. I liked Poe in this. Poe was great. I mean, Oscar Isaac is just such a good actor that he could read the phone book and it would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that they already made the sequel to this for Poe, it's pretty cool. It's called Inside
Llewyn Davis.
And he's feeling so shitty about all the mistakes that
That's true. Oh,
so
man.
He goes into some holodeck.
Someone has to do this, the mashup of this. Someone has to like recut Inside Llewyn Davis to make it about Poe Dameron. And I mean, you've even got Adam Driver in there.
So. I know. Yeah. The fact that he's in there. This is just some sort of like jet, like he found either some sort of technology or he found like, he got Rey or Kylo Ren to just sort of put him in some sort of like dazed Jedi mind trick state.
Oh, what, he thinks he's a folk singer in 1960 New York?
It's just to flagellate himself about how shitty he's been the whole time.
So I think I do think that it sets him up. It could set him up to be a really interesting character in Episode 9, where it seems pretty clear that Poe will have to be basically the leader of the resistance now, because Leia will have to be gone. Holdo is gone. And so it could be an interesting way for Poe to move into like being the leader and with the lessons you've learned, you know, how are you going to be the leader? Oh, this just reminded me of one little gag I loved, which was when they put the thing over BB-8 and he has to try to make the sound of the little Imperial droid so that but it sounds a little bit wrong.
That was so good.
That was really good. Yep.
Yeah, BB-8's performance in this was pretty good.
When he takes over the AT-ST and saves them, that was pretty sweet. I thought for a minute that was going to be Benicio del Toro's character, like he'll have had a change of heart. But I'm glad it wasn't that. I'm glad it was just BB-8.
The other two really great BB-8 moments for me were, I liked the callback to the R2 stuff, trying to fix the X-Wing.
Yeah.
You know, like that. That was funny. That gag was pretty good. And he just shoves his head into the thing.
Yep.
That was cool. And then on that podcast that I was listening to, they said that moment when Poe gets reunited with BB-8 is like...
When you see your dog.
It's somebody getting reunited with his dog. And you can imagine the conversations that happen. Like, what does it look like to hug a droid? And he's patting him on the belly, kind of.
Yep.
Or where his belly would be.
And behind the ears, where his ears would be. Yep.
That was pretty good.
Yep. I'm really excited to see it again because I'll be able to sort of notice more things, I think. But yeah, and also I guess it got a little bit close to cheesy, but I did like the kids in the stable. Like it really landed for me when Leia says we have everything we need, and then it cuts back to the kids on the planet, and that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, Luke emerged out of nothing as a farm boy. Well, okay, it turns out he was actually from a famous family. But now what Star Wars is telling us is that anybody can be a hero. You can be just the daughter of junk dealers and you can become a Jedi. And so this kid who's basically a slave working in a stable is inspired by the stories of Luke Skywalker and is inspired by the rebellion and the resistance and will like, you know... But I think that they're going to have a lot of time pass between this episode and Episode 9. Like, they can't possibly pick it right up where it left off.
I don't know.
They might try, but I wouldn't. I think that would be the wrong move.
I don't know. But staying on those kids for a minute, I read some article that said that that kid at the end, there's a subtle thing where he like uses the force to grab. To grab the broom handle.
I heard someone say that too. I didn't notice it at the time, but I heard someone say that too. Yeah.
I might go see it again, or I might just wait. I haven't decided yet.
I'm gonna totally go see it again. I might go see it again more than once. But
other characters, not enough R2 for me. But
no. But when he plays Leia's old message, that was a great scene. I thought.
Yeah, that was really good. And I liked seeing them interact. I mean, the problem with having a new droid is that you can't just have all droids.
Yep.
So and you have to push out right, a little bit.
Well, and also you have to sort of. Because R2 was very, very much the BB-8 in the original series. So,
of course,
but now that you have the younger BB-8, it's almost like you have to, they almost have to have like an old dog, young dog dynamic, right?
Yeah.
R2-D2 almost has to like act like the old white-faced golden retriever, whereas BB-8 right. is the little puppy, you know?
Right. Oh, and the staying on the droids, the moment when, what did Leia say, wipe that look off your face?
Yes. That was great. I thought that was great.
That I think I laughed. I think that was the moment that I laughed the hardest in the movie.
Yeah. I really like the pissing match between Hux and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
I like that whole dynamic a lot. And I like how they each kind of keep getting the leg up on one another. Like, because I think, you know, I think it's pretty strongly implied at the end. So, you know, Kylo Ren kills Snoke, and then Hux starts calling Kylo Ren supreme leader, right? But then at the end, Kylo Ren gives into hubris and like wastes all that energy trying to kill ghost Luke Skywalker and lets them get away. So I think it's strongly implied that that sort of will lower him a peg or two and may put Hux back in charge.
Yeah, I hope so, because it seems like what this whole movie is doing is like what Rian Johnson was trying to do was like take these characters that were like icons, basically, like not very deep characters for good reason. Like that's not what Star Wars was trying to be, really. And then he took immense pleasure in just like spinning their little heads like 90 degrees.
Yep.
Like, oh, you think this character is like that? Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, right. You think it matters who Rey's parents are? Nope, that doesn't matter.
Nope, doesn't matter.
You think it matters where Snoke comes from? Nope, that doesn't matter.
But so I wonder if it's getting into the like too many cooks recipe though, because did it matter? Like, it looked like it mattered a whole lot in Force Awakens. Like, she had a whole memory scene, and like, she's picturing all this stuff, and like, I'm fine with it not being, you know, I much prefer the message of like the average person. It doesn't matter what your lineage is. Like, I very much prefer that message.
Right.
But from a story standpoint, like, did they just patchwork that in?
Yeah. I don't know. Mean, it's a fair question. I agree. I think that's a fair question. And I think that there will be some people dissatisfied by that, but I'm not like,
what I hope is that cause those moments in The Force Awakens, like when she's talking to Maz and she has those, like those flashback things, like, you can still do something with that. I would like to see it tied together somehow.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's what my preconceived notion about it. It's just like,
right.
Just do something with it.
Totally. And I really don't care about having an origin. I mean, I think I know a lot of people care about having an origin story for Snoke, but I don't care. Like,
oh, I don't care.
He can just be a big bad. He was very, very, very powerful in the Force. But not powerful enough because he wasn't able to like correctly read Kylo Ren.
Oh God!
Oh, no, Adam Driver.
What's that?
Was great in this movie, by the way. I thought he was great.
See, that's where that was a big. Maybe I just don't like him. He's just one of those actors that I don't like. And the part that I did not like, that really didn't work for me, was like the I mean, if we want to use
the teleconferencing,
the Battlestar Galactica, again, stealing that, the whole, you know, Baltar talking to what's her name.
I liked it.
Like, if it was shrunk down to one or two, that's fine. Like one or two little moments, but man, I was worried, honestly, where they were bringing it to. I was like, wait, are they gonna make? Because people were saying, oh, well, maybe Rey is the other daughter of Luke or of Han and Leia. And I was like, oh God, please let it not be that.
No, I think we're meant to think they have a little bit of sexual.
I think so, right? I guess.
And I don't mind that. I actually think that of any chemistry, of any sort of sexual chemistry, like the I think that Kylo Ren kind of wants to get with her. Which I don't mind. I think that makes sense because he says, I care about you. Like you know, you can let your past die and you can come with me because I understand you and I care about you. And I bought get that.
I hope it doesn't pan out. Like I can't stand this. Like everything has to result in the two people having sex with each other. Like that everybody loved. What was that alien movie that everybody loved?
Oh God, you hated it.
What was it called?
So what was it called? Arrival. Can I clarify? I don't think that they're heading towards getting together. I don't think that they're heading towards that. And I'm not saying that I think that would be a good idea. I'm saying that desire of that sort is maybe partially what's driving Kylo Ren. And that doesn't bother.
And that sort of makes sense in you know, this movie is themes that are like appropriate at this point in time too, and that theme would kind of make sense, right? Like, hey,
right?
You know, hey, white dude in power pursuing this the female. Like, it's not all about you. Like, shut the fuck up.
Right. But you know, Star Wars movies have never been particularly sexy. I think the only person in the entire Star Wars saga who ever seemed like he legitimately wanted to fuck somebody was Han Solo. Like, he was the only person. And obviously there's, you know, Anakin and Padme, but of course that was just a garbage barge of script writing, so it was not convincing at all.
Right.
And everyone else is kind of monkish. Like, everyone's pretty monkish in their, you know, sort of outlook, except Han Solo and maybe Kylo.
I agree. But yeah, just overall, like, Adam Driver, I don't know, man. I don't like him. For me, the less Adam Driver I have to put up with on screen, the happier I am. Or at least give him the helmet.
That's fair.
Let him wear the helmet all the time because helmets are cool.
No, I think. Oh man, I like him without the helmet better. I think that the him smashing the helmet was a good character.
I agree that it was good. Mm-hmm. I like a scary villain in a helmet. And I don't like his
fair enough.
Stupid face. So.
Okay, sounds like you kind of have a Father John.
Yeah, there's something about him that I. Oof. Okay, wait. So who do we have
left?
What character do we have left?
We didn't talk
about Rey much.
That's true. We didn't talk about Rey much. I thought she was great. Yeah. I liked the scene in the Hall of Mirrors. I thought that was really interestingly shot. The way she snaps. And the way the snap, that was really cool.
I liked it, but I wanted something different at the same time, but I couldn't tell you what it was. So that's just me just being stupid, I guess. It was like, it should have been, could have been this. I don't know. It was good. It was way different. Yep. It was a lot different than things that we saw in Star Wars previously.
Yep. Yep. No, I thought Rey was really good. I thought she and Mark Hamill acted very well together. They made a really good pairing.
If the next Star Wars movie was just Rey, like, I don't know, like, just doing some mundane task, like mining salt on that planet, sign me up. I'd watch it.
Yep. Yep. She's charismatic. Daisy Ridley has replaced the actor of space that was formerly occupied by Keira Knightley. In terms of like spunky, thin British heroine.
Well, because Keira Knightley was
maybe
in the
that makes
Pirates
no sense.
Movie and
she was in the Pirates movies, and then she was in prestige dramas. And I feel like Daisy Ridley is like Keira Knightley 2.0. Like, oh, this is Keira Knightley but better. And also, she's less. She's more down to earth. She seems more down to earth than Keira Knightley. She seems a little bit more relatable.
She's just great in these movies. Like. Awesome.
Right. But like if The Force Awakens had come out 10 years or 12 years earlier, it would have been Keira Knightley in that role. And I'm glad that it was not.
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
I liked Carrie Fisher in this movie. I wish maybe would have seen more of her just because it's the last we're going to see of her.
I know.
But she
was
good, and especially that when she that C-3PO thing, so good.
That was funny. Also, John Boyega, unlike a lot of British actors, his accent is always great. Like, he never slips out. He never slips out of a sort of American accent that he adopted. It always, I completely forget that he's not actually American. So he does a good job.
Did this movie pass the Bechdel test? I can't remember. Did.
Yeah, it does. For sure. Admiral Holdo and Carrie Fisher, I mean, Leia and Holdo have a couple of conversations. They're talking about just saving the fleet and stuff. And leadership,
And the other, it's super diverse, which is awesome. But again, somebody pointed out, like, well, still no queer characters yet. Like, we can sort of infer things about, what's his name, Poe and Finn, this isn't forgiving it, but it's just talking about what you talked about previously. Everybody in Star Wars is sort of monkish. So like, somebody could say, well, we don't know what characters are queer or not because we don't talk about that stuff much in Star Wars. So,
I think Oscar Isaac has talked about like how Oscar Isaac has sort of been talking about in interviews. Like, I think it's really cool if the LGBTQ community wants to see Poe Dameron as gay. Like, I think that's awesome. Yeah. I totally support that. But it's not explicitly there.
Yeah, it's like the whole after-the-fact Dumbledore being gay.
Yeah, it's sort of an after-the-fact Dumbledore being gay thing. Although, I don't know, the moment between Holdo and Princess Leia was a little tender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was a little tender. You know, it was a little bit lovingly tender. But I don't know if we're meant to think so. But I thought, maybe since Han went away, you know, there Princess Leia has been... branching out. Who knows?
Well, I think we can.
Oh, man. Well, I think we did. It's movie season. I went to see the film Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
It was good.
One of my friends said it wasn't
good. I want to see. Oh, your friend said it wasn't good? What did your friend not like?
He said it was. He's very picky. It's the guy who owns the shop. He's super picky. He was like, it felt like a Coen Brothers movie, only not good.
Well, I can see that. I think it... I can see that it's in the sort of Coen Brothers area. But I thought it was good. I want to see The Shape of Water pretty bad. I want to see... I want to see The Post. I want to see... I want to see I, Tonya. There's a lot of movies I want to see.
I'm going to finally go see Blade Runner on Monday, I think. Because...
Oh, okay. Okay. Man, we should maybe do another talk about that.
And I was worried about this movie because, like, sitting is not great for me. So I had to get up once during it just to stretch my back. Yeah.
So are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can Hello? You hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I can hear you now. You came back. Oh. You're gone for about...
Oh, I said I had to get up once during the movie to, like, stretch my back. And honestly, if I didn't feel so weird, I probably would have just stayed standing for the whole rest of the movie, like, over off to the side. But it was fine.
Yeah.
So, well,
cool, man. All right. Good conversation.
Good convo. I'll probably post it.
Cool. That'll be good.
Put a link up.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.